design. We're running a bit late because Seth and I were tossing around some words from different languages and getting ourselves all tongue-twisted. So that took a little extra time tonight. But here you are listening to Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and I love talking to you on this show. I love it when you call in. I like to start off with a meditation that connects us all, and then we're going to take your calls, and Deb O'Connor is going to come in and talk about, I think she said, I don't know if I can really believe this, but she said the skies are a bit bland right now. We already have a caller. Should I start off with a caller? You're on the air.
Hi, I know I called in a few weeks ago, and I'm getting an echo. I always get an echo when I call.
That's the vaulted universe standing behind you.
Yeah, I guess it's the story of my life. It must be my alter ego and my twin in a parallel universe. Anyhow, this will be quick. Okay, I've been, like, sick. Wow.
Oh, really?
Freedom. I've been sick for about like a few weeks, and I don't know what was holding me back. Maybe in one sense, I'm trying to push myself out there into the public, where I need to be doing more behind the scenes work, like in terms of my theater projects. And I have this writing project I've been very obsessed with doing, and I won't let myself do it. It's like a memoir, but it should be like kind of like comic. You know, and, like, I'm just feeling all this need for levity in my life, very much, you know, just a humorous, like, way of looking at my life and the world and stuff, you know. And I think it could be very healing to myself and others, but it's like, I keep saying, well, I don't have the maturity to start this memoir. And I'm, like, fighting myself back and forth, and I don't know if that and maybe what I feel like, you know, is, like, I feel like I'm pulled to go out and perform and produce, but I really want to pull back and just, like, record and write, you know? Maybe that's what's keeping me sick, but I feel like that there's something, like, psychological or spiritual even, you know, that's, like,
What's the nature
back.
Of your illness? Is it a flu?
Yeah, it's kind of like a weird, funny, woozy flu cold thing, you know? I've been trying to change my schedule from, like, a day person to a night person, so that might have something to do with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I just like the night people better because I have more fun with them, you know? And I don't have a day job, so I don't really need to. People are like, you know, like, day people are too serious, and I don't need to be one because I don't have a day job, you know?
Sounds like
you need to do a stand-up
about your nighttime new schedule.
Well, I don't know, but it's like, see, I feel like the stand-up is in my writing, you know? And so I'm really good at injecting humor in with my songs and stuff, and I think that I need to inject a little more humor maybe into my rock opera. I'm not sure how, but I got to look at it. Mm-hmm. I'm putting in a resume for working as a volunteer in the theater, so that's a good thing.
Good.
But the thing is, like, it's like I want to write a memoir, you know? And it's like I keep holding myself back because I feel like I'm going to get this maturity, you know, but I feel like the
things
that I'm
looking for. Honey, some of us are never going to mature in this lifetime. Don't worry about it. You got other lives you
can be
in.
Well, thank you, you know, because, like, I'm on this really cool woman's, like, writing website now, you know, and I want to start, you know, and it doesn't always have to be women, you know, women input, because I just have this companion, and he's a humorous writer, and we have, you know, we bounce off each other, you know, and so, but it's like I won't let myself start the writing. I feel like, I mean, I need permission.
Let me interrupt you, because I want to get on with the I want to get on to the meditation, but I think that you're a wonderful writer, A. B., I want to see you do something like a, it doesn't have to be a major cleanse, but you need to drink a lot more water because you've got this really gooey, kind of slow, viscous energy block moving up from your base chakra up through the lower belly and up into the solar plexus. And I'm going, it's like that's where the detox has to come up out of whatever that little virus is that you took on. But it's also related to the fact that you're holding back and are afraid to move forward. So your whole inner being gets indecisive and a bit sluggish. And I want to make one suggestion. The guides are laughing, going, if you were telling your story to someone, you're talking about your memoir. If you were telling your story to someone, it would be different for you, and you would be a lot perkier, like an email. Why don't you pick a couple of people or one person and write them a little bit of your life story regularly, you know, that you can get feedback as you go, because there's something sparky in you about when you're kind of performing something instead of having to sit and write something.
Yeah.
The guides say that could go really fast.
I was like, but what about just like actually performing in public, like, you know, musically wise? Like, I don't want to perform until I feel like way better. Is, I mean, that's valid though, right? I mean, to actually go out there in front of people and perform with my body, you know. I mean, I'm holding back on that. But I know somebody wants to hook me up with a piano player, but I want to wait.
Well, wait then. Trust yourself. When's your birthday?
September 29th.
It's funny because I just feel like some of the waiting is just you being, and I keep seeing indecision, and you just said, well, you're Libra. But in any case, I think some of the waiting is indecisive, but I want to say you need to get physically a little clearer first. And writing can clear you up, so I would drink a lot of water. Water with lemon.
A lot of water and a lot of writing. Email kind of person.
And get a big bang out of yourself, and then all of a sudden, there's no stopping you. When you're ready to perform, there ain't no stopping you, girl.
I know.
And when you're not, when you're not ready, there's no starting you. So I'm going to go off and do the meditation, and we expect to have a little bit of a read-in with you at some point.
Okay, love, I appreciate it so much.
All right, thank you for your call.
Oh, you're so welcome, thank you.
Okay, so I want everybody to know there's a bunch of things we're going to talk about tonight. As you know, I'm into this oneness concept, which is about as old as recorded history, but is being reflected into our species through the oneness movement and a whole bunch of other spiritual activities these days. So I'm not preaching about one way or another, but I always want us to grow to such a way that we know that we're all connected. That's one of the things we're going to talk about. Another way of looking at connection is I've said before recently that I have lost a number of people over the last few months. And I was talking to the guides tonight. I always like to do a bit of channeling before we come on the air. And they were talking about releasing our identification. We've done this before on Radiance by Design, where you bring up all of the traits, all of the aspects of your identity that you're conscious of. And as you bring them up and feel them and become really aware of them, this is who I am, this is how people know me. Maybe it's even the hats you wear. It can be a lot of fun when you bring up this kind of stuff. And then you drop off all of those points, all of those ways of defining yourself. But the guides are saying in my channeling tonight that it's very interesting that when people in your life die, you know, of course it depends how much of your life is wound around that person's existence. I mean, that the amount of change that's required in you when someone close to you dies depends on the intricacies of your relationship, doesn't it? And the amount of completion in the relationship. But the guides are very clear saying when someone passes, you very often have to shift your identity, and it's just tying it into the old identity exercise. I think that's quite interesting. We grieve when people die. We all have some version of grief. But sometimes there's also because we're all connected, sometimes there's a terrific freedom that comes from someone else's passing. Even if, for example, the person who passes is a cherished being in your life, sometimes it can free you up from a certain amount of attachment that your identity has been created through or with, if that makes sense. It gets kind of perplexing because none of the stuff, when we're talking about being connected and being one, it is not a linear progression of events. And so often we're learning about being in the now, accepting the moment and just being in the now, and releasing all of the attachments we have to anything. And when you do that, we literally can pick up speed. Our frequencies can pop up. We can expand. And we can participate in a changing dynamic in our collective that meets the changing vibrations, the changing frequencies, the moving up of frequencies and action on the planet, in our atmosphere, and in our universe. It's really amazing. And if you hold on to what was, then you know the swashbuckling has to get greater, doesn't it? We get pulled and pushed. Somebody called tonight who's going through Saturn return, and that really added to my thoughts for this show. The Saturn return is a time when, I don't know, I'm not an astrologer, as you know, but it's like Saturn goes over your chart a couple of times in strategic places and creates, and Deb, if you're listening to this, for heaven's sakes, forgive me, and maybe we can talk about this when you come on, but it creates that kind of energetic formation, containment, and so on that Saturn is known for, whether it's karma or just structuring and so on. So it pulls you back and forth, goes over your chart as many times as it does according to your chart. And many, many people at 28 or 56 go through tremendous reevaluation of self. And again, identity, priorities, goals, and so on during that time. So maybe what we're talking about tonight is an enhanced kind of Saturn return thing where we can choose to release our attachments to our identities, even to the people that we know and love, to pop into the now from the inner part of yourself and really sit in the middle of that place and then allow yourself to rise to meet the potential of these new frequencies that are moving. We're getting downloads from the universe that have so much information and light in them, and we are becoming a higher frequency being. And as we talk about, for example, politics, we learn more and more these days that as we become a higher frequency being, choosing to reevaluate that which we attach to and so on, we actually impose a much freer, much more expanded version of reality, or we hook up with it, I guess, or we impose an expanded version of reality into the collective. And then, you know, it kind of shimmers and goes right through the whole collective, doesn't it? How many of us does it take to recognize that we're not only one, but we have an absolutely unlimitable potential? We're magnificent beings. We have divinity within us. Each of us has our share of the divinity, and divinity likes to express itself through us all, doesn't it? So as we sort of move back into the now and we actually release our attachments to our identity, I know I'm reiterating what I was saying, then we pop up and we are a new expression, a new possibility on this planet. So let's get to work and do that. And before we do, I want us to collect our energies, focus together in a meditation. And close your eyes, unless you're standing on one foot, walking on a cliff. And focus above you about 2 miles and see there a golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball right down through your spine into the lower golden ball. And from the upper golden ball to about waist height, drop a four-sided pyramid. And upside down, with its point going into the lower golden ball, another four-sided pyramid. The two pyramids, when they hitch together, become an eight-sided figure called an octahedron. Inside of that, create a crystal ball. Now remember, your crystal ball pushes the inside edges of your octahedron. And inside of that, you've got a star tetrahedron. And you're in it. Now spin and spin and spin in your star tetrahedron. Today I feel like opening my arms widely as I spin. It's just some sort of euphoric feeling I just picked up on. How do you feel? And look at the screen in front of you. You have a magical screen in front of you. And on that screen, create a little movie of you and who you're becoming. Who do you want to become? We're dropping off our identity. Who do we really want to become? I always say I want to be consciously multidimensional. I want to consciously come from the heart and be multidimensional, be absolutely magical. And I see myself doing that. When you can see yourself arriving at the goal that you're setting up in this mystical, magical moment, give yourself a big grin and a high five. Wrap that in light so it stays perking away in the background. And we move to the next screen in which you're doing another movie. And this movie is you doing a project that you want to create. I'm still in the process, so I always say I'm creating a television series. What do you think of that? And then I see all of the resources coming. I see them, whether it's money and people and places and things and light, you know, everything that I need to make a wonderful interviewees, a wonderful show, a wonderful series of shows. I see it all creating. Whatever you want to create is valid, too. It can be home and family. It can be a book. It can be a house. It can be anything you want. Business. World trip. And now as you see the pieces coming together and you see your project coming to completion, yeah, see all the resources coming to sustain it. And the light. I want lots of light in my project. Sending radiance. My TV show sends radiance out all over the world so we all can take some and pass it on. Wrap that in light so it sustains itself, and then we move to the Galactic Healing Center. And we have our healing team standing around a table. Remember, your healing team was a magical consortium of your own guidance. Some people have it physical beings, some people have it multidimensional beings. You choose. And then you have a table, and the first person to come in and lie on this table is you, or in my case, me. You lie on the table and you ask for what you want. Good. Or you ask them what it is you need, or what they'd like to help you with. Good. And then I can feel them working on me. Can you feel them working on you? Okay. Good. Now wrap that in light and move it over to the right. Healing team replicates themselves. And I would like to bring in a special person to come on my fresh table. This is a person who just found out he's a man who has several children, and a wonderful wife. And he just found out that he's having his second round with cancer. He's having mouth cancer. And we're asking the healing team to work with him. Now, they're doing some very amazing things. Who did you bring in? And what? Take a look or feel or sense and know what your healing team's doing with that person. This fellow, the team, is doing some pretty interesting clearing. You know, my guides always say that clearing is 95% of the job, whether it's healing, transforming, growing, manifesting. Clear what's in the way, and they're just doing an awful lot of roto-rootering with this guy. Something to do with, I think it's to do with the past chemo that he had. They're taking something that's been lying all along his spine. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to purify. There we are. And what's going on in your healing room? You know, it's interesting because they're making my person who's lying on the table, they're making him cry. Okay, and you and I know also that sometimes tears are the most healing thing we can do. Okay, so wrap that in light and let it continue. another woman in mind who's a very beautiful woman with a very wonderful husband and a terrific family and so on. And her ovarian cancer, cancer of the peritoneum, has returned. She's peaceful. She's still beautiful. And let's ask the guides to work with her and her healing. They're using a lot of different colored lights on her. Who are you working on? Excellent. Now let's wrap that in light. And now let's bring in the bigger political picture. What kind of political? I'm telling you what, listening to the Republicans debate who's going to be their king is hilarious. I mean, and I don't know about all of you, but I feel like a lot of the arguments are not very sensible, that there's so much spin and confusion and marketing going on that you don't know who to believe. So I just want to bring in, it's not just the Republicans, I know it's both sides, but that's the one I heard recently. So I want to bring in this whole election preparation thing and that whole idea of all of this stuff being, salami, baloney, so much that you don't even know who to listen to or who means what they say or who's just marketing or who's got the most money behind them. Oh, my goodness, it's really something. So let's bring in the whole American election gang, both sides, Democratic and Republican, and the PAC people and the lobbyists, and holy mackerel, let's bring it all in. And those of us who are on the other side, whatever side that is. And let's ask to feel some tremendous, loving, loving, loving light. And just infuse them all with a consciousness that we're all one. And we basically want the same thing. We want home and family. We want success. We want nice, feisty business. A lot of us want the transcendent capacities of living in our integrity. We want evolution for our species, right? We want good food, great clothes, transportation. And I would swear that most Americans want peace. I'm not going to swear at you tonight. But anyway, that's what I really feel. So let's bring in some really wonderful orangey pink, salmony pink, radiant light. Bring it in through the top of your head, out through your heart, into your arms and your hands, and see yourself sending that light through all of these beings, all of these people, calming them, helping them share, helping them be in truth with one another, and the greater good. The greater good includes the good for Mother Earth, too, eh? And our atmosphere. So let's just keep shining this amazing light through all of these beings and wrap them all up in this great, huge, vibrant gunny sack that feels good, smells good, so they can kind of rub off on each other and all feel a higher and higher frequency of unity. And leave them on the table as we go out there dancing around like Johnny Appleseed, only we're dispensing this wonderful, wonderful light of harmony and healing. And we're going to pat it on various parts of the globe, which are representing areas of illness and war, dominance, dictatorial stuff. We're just going to pat these various parts of the world where the weather is changing and the animals have to adapt. Let's do that. Where there's been terrible damage on the planet, like in Japan or down at the Gulf spill, or the Gulf oil hole in the earth. Yeah. And let's just wrap it round and round and round our planet. Round and see easing the tensions of polarities. Seems like the polarities are getting worse and worse, but you know, when you have too much yang, it eventually turns into yin, and if you have too much yin, it eventually turns into yang. So I like to pray that all of this tension is building up and building up, it does have the ability to transform and become one energy that really helps things all over the whole planet. That's right. And have that light go round and round and round our planet, round and round and round our planet, and come back in. And it needs to just flood. Let's go back into flooding U.S., North America even, and especially like around home, because I think we need to have an ease from a lot of the, like the mind control and the spin that's kind of keeping us confused, and the food quality. All right, now move it round and round and round the planet. Yeah. And let's offer some to the ETs that are around us that we can't see. They're in behind their little screens and they're coming in from different galactic centers or watching, observing us to see how we can choose conscious evolution. Apparently that's one of the things they're watching here. So then let's just bring it round and round and round and then come back into yourself, have it come into your this beautiful light. Comes into your hands, up your arms, into your heart, pops up through the top of your head, out into the great central sun, and back down again. Now close off your galactic healing center. Jump into your spinning star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. And now hop into this room with me. I'd love to talk to you. I think maybe Deb O'Connor could be on the phone right now. If you are, let's hear you yodel, Deb. And if you're not, call in, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk to you about what's going on in your life and how did that feel for you. As I was saying before we started our meditation, which I love to do because it connects us all. It's a real vibrational way of making us Radiance by Design community. I think you probably know that. Several of you have told me that you feel that. And here's the number, 888-627-6008. And before we started our meditation, we were talking about finding the truth of self, or peeling away the layers of how we've slapped our identity together. Quite often our identity comes out of reaction, doesn't it? We learn to posture this way and that makes people happy. We learn to posture that way, it makes people happy. This one makes me look like my mom. We go through an awful lot of stuff that is natural, like maybe you do look like your mom, but then we also add a certain amount of posturing to our identity, and we choose demeanors, we choose attitudes, maybe from not a very conscious level at times, but we have a lot of traits in our individual identity that is not necessarily who we really are. Or maybe, and I don't know about you guys, but I have been certain ways in my life, maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago, that I go, I can't even relate to being that person. Ironically, I can relate to being a young girl, like 10 to 0. I can relate to that and have pretty clear memories of that time. But there are times in my young adult time where I look back and go, was that really me? What was I acting out of? Have you got any of those kinds of things? The point is, if we want to be in the now, we want to peel a lot of that off, or at least stop it from sending us in into the world a little out of sync with who we really are. And I really believe politically that if we can be who we really are, that's going to change the whole face of the way the world functions. A, B, it allows us to pop up our frequency and become a whole different member of this species, or actually to influence the species. Is that you there, Deb?
Hi.
Yes. Hi, honey. How are you?
I was loving listening to you.
Well, I'm loving listening to you. I wanted to know, I told people you said it was going to be bland tonight.
What did I say it was going to be?
I used the word bland. I don't think you did.
No. Oh, no. I was just thinking that we talked last week about the equinox and the new moon and this, because it's not bland at all. It's just really quiet and sort of peaceful. Mercury's still retrograde, and so is Mars, and so is Saturn. Planets still retrograde, three of them. And Mercury has backed out of Aries, which is a real feisty, fiery sign, and we were getting a lot of messaging about using our energy in a way that's not so much like a bull in a china shop trying to push our way through things as trying to get more in touch with that core energy base and use it wisely. That's what we were getting until a few days ago. And Mercury back, now it's back in the sign of Pisces, which is the last sign in the zodiac, and it's the sign of the dreaming and of oneness and compassion and all that. So when
and by my first caller, we send her back to do some writing.
Yeah, and real creative work, really creative work. But with Pisces and Leo are both real creative. But with Pisces, it's a quieter creativity, so it is more about writing or sort of any kind of creative act. It's not dancing. It's not going dancing. Or if you are dancing, it's a sort of quiet dance that you do by yourself, sort of with your, you know. So anyway, it's a great time right now, and it will be for the next 2.5 weeks to really pay attention to dreams. Mercury's going retrograde. It's at the very end right now of its cycle. It turned around on Wednesday. So we have another 6 days, 5 days, I guess, goes retrograde through Tuesday. And so everybody...
Well, can I say this?
I was born
in Mercury retrograde, which you well know because you do know my chart. And I always say, well, you know, I like it. It's kind of peaceful. I've had more things technologically drive me nuts. Even my iPhone the other day suddenly went 3 hours out of whack. And then,
well, I've never been through a Mercury retrograde period that was as crazy as this one has been technologically.
Oh, thank you.
But I think that partially, and especially since Mercury backed into Pisces last week, I think that's partially because we are literally getting these really direct signals from the cosmos to just flat out stop it. To just, if the phone won't work, then we just have to just get off the phone. I mean, I have the same kind of thing, and you know, I do what you do. I read for people almost every day, and then I've got them on my Skype, and I'm trying to record through my computer the reading, and I've had all sorts of crazy things go on. You know, Skype not working or shutting down or the recording's not happening. But I just say, okay, but the other thing that's been happening is my dreams have been just flat out extraordinary and my meditations have been really deep and really sweet. So I think that when Mercury's retrograde, it's just like the way you have it in your chart, you always are coming from the inner to the outer. You're always, you know, when you channel for people, you're working with the inner voice and bringing it out, and that's what any Mercury retrograde wants us to focus on. But if you couple that with the sign of Pisces, which is the sign of the mystery and mysticism, you're going to have amazing dreams, extraordinary creativity coming out. If you want to, you know, tap into it, really beautiful meditations and a little bit of confusion out in the real world. You know, that's the other thing. I used to call these things the shadow side, but I don't think they are shadows. I think they used to feel like it more to us because we were so geared to functioning in a particular way out in the world, the way that we're supposed to. And I think I've mentioned this before, but for 30 years I worked in the publishing world. And when Mercury would go retrograde, my God, everything would go wrong. And I used to push really hard against broken phones and miscommunications with writers and artists, and till I finally realized that when that planet was retrograde and I was trying to get a publication out, I needed to just stop and go read manuscripts or something and just know I was going to be late on the deadline. But it's just kind of like that no matter what we're doing, no matter what our particular work is. Anyway, have you been having... some really amazing dreams or meditations?
I have, but I don't really remember them very well, except they've been a lot about things like surgeries, people having a lot of surgeries, and everybody's in pink.
Mm.
And that's all I remember about that one, but that was quite a lot. And,
well, I think when I talk about these
dreams,
I mean it metaphorically, so I don't mean to say that because Mercury's retrograde in Pisces, everybody has to go make a painting and meditate deeply and dream it's like we're all going to handle it a little bit differently, and we also all have this retrograde planet in a different house in the zodiac. For you, it's probably in the fifth house, because that's where some of your Pisces energy is. I don't know if it's fifth, sixth, or fourth, fifth, but...
Well, here's something that happened for me. You know that I had a death in the family recently.
Yeah. Well,
and as a result, there was a huge, like a memorial page put up on Facebook, and then relatives started putting in pictures. This was a young woman that I used to be her adopted mother. I guess I still am, but she left for quite a while. But in any case, people had a lot of pictures they were putting up on Facebook about my time with her as a little girl, and my natural daughter, many years later, is phoning me, and she's saying she was kind of shaken up by it. So there was her mother with a different husband and a different child, and all these different pictures of my history that she didn't know. So that sent us into some very, very interesting conversations, and she wants to know more, and out came my big box of pictures. So I've been kind of retrospecting and retrograding and going through huge different incarnations in my life. It's been really quite dynamic.
Well, you know what's really fascinating about that one is that I just opened your chart up while we were talking to see where this Mercury retrograde is in your chart right now. Because I'm sure most of your listeners know this, but a planet like this can be retrograde, but it's always affecting us. Each one of us in a different house. So we're all getting a different... For you, this is happening in your fifth house, which is house of children.
Oh, interesting.
And so, isn't that amazing?
And isn't that amazing?
Everything that you're talking about is a quintessential Mercury retrograde thing. Things come out of our past. Things always come up out of our past. I've heard from several people I haven't heard from in years this last couple of weeks.
And I want to add another thing to that. There has been... I'm sorry, did I overtalk you? I'm sorry.
No, please.
Okay, because here's the other thing that I think is relevant to listeners and so on, in that through this retrospective that's been going on, I've had really intense and very deep comprehensive understanding releases of things that have kept me either traumatized or in pain or hidden or something. All this stuff seems to be making sense, and I'm going, oh, that's what was going on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, that's the Pisces piece, which ultimately, if you peel away all the layers of the mysticism and the creativity and the dreaminess and the poetry, the bedrock of Pisces is always surrender, like, you know, your thy will, not mine, that old passage, or that sense of, that Eckhart Tolle talking about surrendering to acceptance of what is. And in that, in what seems like a real simple action or response to whatever's going on, phenomenal healing, deep healing happens. Because I think, don't you? I mean, acceptance of what is and what has been is one of the toughest things there is, because we have to get our judging mind out of the way to do it.
I agree with you entirely. But I want to say this just a little differently, just to add another layer to it. Which is that, for example, when this adopted daughter was in the hospital and various people from her history before me came in, I began to understand things about her that had been confusing when I knew her and that I took responsibility for that I absolutely had no responsibility for. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of unhooking.
That's incredible, because it's all coming out of the past, too.
It's masterful.
And it's all so much, there's so much compassion in all of that, isn't there? I mean, that sense of...
I think there's freedom for her as well as for me, as well as for all the other people, yeah. I think compassion was tremendous.
And there's also a lot of transcendence in Pisces, transcending what is in the material world. So I think, you know, how amazing. One of the things I'd like to say before somebody calls in and I forget this is that every time we're at the very end of a cycle like this, any time a planet is just sort of finishing up a retrograde pattern, things that we haven't managed to integrate in this particular cycle will really become more and more intense as we near the end of it. So it's just a little heads up for everyone that if, you know, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, if things get either a little confusing or a little bit, you know, where things come up, we just absolutely have to surrender to them. It's just because we're at the end of it. And I think that probably Tuesday could be really, and I would also say, you know, technological stuff is going to continue to be wonky.
Ew.
So don't worry. Just, you know, we just have to sort of laugh at it all. And,
well, we just have to improve our intuition, and we don't need technology so much, huh?
Yeah. There's usually some way around it, but it's never a straightforward way through it.
Well, just
sure.
Before you, just before the show tonight, I got a call from a young woman who was going through an awful lot of life falling apart. And she said, I'm just mm-hmm. heading into a Saturn return. So then I thought, well,
then that's her house. Really what her life is doing is it's falling together. But the thing about Saturn, and she must be her first Saturn return, so you said she was young, so she's at the end of her 20s?
I think so, yes. I don't know. She didn't tell me which one.
Yeah. The Saturn return is always about the structure of the life reconfiguring itself. So anything that no longer fits her life, even if she thinks it still fits, she'll know. I'm sure she knows that a lot of what's coming apart has to come apart. And you know how we always say that. The old stuff has to break down in order for the new to be built in, to be built up. And that's what happens to everybody. I mean, I'm sure you remember what happened to you at your first Saturn return. I left my marriage and went back, went to school again and moved to all the way across the country. And big things happened at that first Saturn return. And they feel really like our foundation is being yanked right out from underneath us. And in a way, it is being yanked out from underneath us.
Yeah, we were moved to Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's just not the right foundation anymore, but that's all I had to say.
I was moved from an upwardly mobile university, husband getting PhD time, into working in a slum as community development workers, which was like Peace Corps.
Yep.
I prayed so hard that he wouldn't get that job. You have no idea.
But
there I was, living in the slum. And I started a women's center, a transition house then, too, which was a big step
yeah.
for me.
Yeah, so, that yeah. is a big step. And it's also something that led you into the work that you still do now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so that was my 28.
What?
And it goes on for a year, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, sometimes even a little longer. It's usually somewhere between. Every once in a while, I'll see somebody's Saturn return only lasts for a couple of months. But in general, because Saturn is always going forward and then retrograde and forward and then retrograde, it's usually surfing back and forth over itself. The transit is surfing back and forth over the natal planet. So it can take up to a year. I think my second Saturn return was something like 14 months long. But we're feeling it way before it actually gets exactly aligned. So sometimes, you know, we can feel a Saturn return for a couple years, even
wow.
2.5 years.
Some of us have felt it for 30 years.
Well, we do feel it for 30 years because the first Saturn return is the end of the first epoch of our life. And we're moving into the second epoch, which will take us up till about 56 or 57 in the next 30 years. And so the Saturn cycle is a huge thing. And when we go through that first one at the end of our 20s, we have to let go of the things that we don't want in our foundation anymore, because we're going into that big, beautiful span of work where we're going to do big work. And like what you're doing when you made that transition, it nourishes what's going to come in that big middle section of the life.
So with the right expectation, it can be exciting, even though it's disheveling. So thank you so much, Miss Deb. I'm so glad you came on tonight. I feel very invigorated.
Oh, thank you. I love getting to come on, and I hope that people will call in. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can either go to my website, which is www.lovedogdesign, or you can email me at deb@lovedogdesign.com.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much, Veronica.
Take care. Take care.
You
in all
too.
This retrograde, I know you're doing some great poetry, right?
Oh, sweet dreams, everybody.
Good night. Thanks, Jeff. Well, call in. You've got about 5 minutes to call and ask your questions. Several of you are thinking of calling, so hurry up. What are you waiting for? Okay, it's 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. In the meantime, I'm going to watch this woman out here. I can see you. You're worrying and worrying and worrying and worrying, and you've got your hand on the phone, but you're afraid to call. Come on. And I see that you're worrying about the wrong things. And, you know, have you ever noticed that? If you look back, you do a retrospective in your life, which we do with all the retrograde going on, do you find out you worried about all the right things or the wrong things? Because I find I always worried about the wrong things. Anyway, this woman is really nervous, and she's indecisive, and she doesn't quite know which way to turn. And we're going to say the same thing that Deb said and that I've said and other people have said and Eckhart Tolle sure says, is drop into the now. Stop with those anxious hand motions that you're using. And let me look here. I think you've got a lot of gut problems right now. You know, remember our gut, our gastrointestinal system is where we transform, we actually digest and transform our life experiences, isn't it? And this woman has got really, everything is just stuck and held there. So I just want to say, drop inside and drop into, let me look here, the way your stomach is being held. I want to say, here, let's do one of these releasing exercises that we used to do all the time. Let's just do a litany of imagining someone that you're annoyed with or someone who's annoyed with you, and imagine that person in front of you and push her away with light or him away with light on your hand. And say, I release you, I forgive you, I love you. And then push yourself with light on your hand. Say, I release myself, forgive myself, love myself. And do that several times. And then the idea is you do any number of people that show up. So all of a sudden somebody shows up and you go, well, I haven't got any issues with that person. Just ignore you. Oh, goody. I have a caller. I'll just finish this one thought. You just keep pushing, you release, forgive, and love that person, the next person that pops up, it doesn't matter who it is, and you just keep doing it until you've stopped doing that. And I'll tell you something, this lady whose tummy is all bound up like that, all of a sudden your stomach will start gurgling. If you do a good, sincere job, your stomach will start gurgling. And you know what happens next? You're on the air, Claudia. Good evening.
Hi there.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm the one who called earlier. I talked to you before the show.
Yeah, well, I know who you are. I'm really glad that you called in. Did you hear that I asked Deb about you?
Yes, thank you so much. And it's I'm in my 50s, so this is a big Saturn return.
That's important, Claudia.
Left my little urban farm and home and everything that I'd built up. So that middle part nourished my middle part of my life, ended up in a foreclosure, even though I fought the Chase Bank. And it was interesting. I tried to call in the show, and I dialed the number, and I got on Rainbow Table Women's Group, and they were all talking about fighting the top dogs, you know, and bills in politics, lots of things. And I got on, and I just talked to them about peace and small acts of peace. That's far more foundational, and that real change will come through people bonding together.
Oh, wonderful. And that's what you said, isn't it?
Around the kitchen table.
Wow.
And so on. And read them a poem, something Mother Teresa. And anyway, what I had called about was astrology and about just centering myself for this big struggle. It seems like everything that I've put forth, it's really testing my strength and foundation.
Okay.
And of what's in my heart. And it's hard to know whether what's on my mind and what I think I'm supposed to do is going to bear fruit, you know, in this time of seed planting, in the spring, the equinox. And I'm way up on a ridge top and feeling very dreamy, and I've got, I'm a Virgo, and so that Mars going retrograde is making me clean up all the things that I left unattended, and getting rid of everything that I don't need. And it's hard to choose because I feel very sentimental, having downsized from a very big house and a very big dream and starting over in my late 50s. So,
well, you know what?
I started
all over at 57.
Did you?
Yeah. And my life is wonderful, and now I'm 105. No, I'm actually 68. I'm telling you the truth today because I've made it a point of saying 57. And life really just got better and better, but it's like an entirely different incarnation, and I have great faith that that's what you're into, is like a really new, you're part of the new order, my friend. And you are going to make a big difference. You've got people all... Do you have any friends right now? Because you have people all around you, and if you don't have friends, boy, you got them coming in.
That sounds good. No, I'm coming out of a very long, dark night of the soul and cocooning and trying to get lots of things organized and done. And I tried to set up a transition house at the end with my place, and it was just a disaster. I didn't have the... Kahunas. I didn't have the experience of how to keep my emotions out of it and a good income flow coming while I was dealing with. So now I have lots of opportunities and choices, and I'm really seeking community that I can make a difference in, and it's
well,
still the money flow thing.
And you know I'm going to have to say goodbye shortly, so I just want to throw this at you and say you've got, you need to do a little bit more surrender, because you know this, that a lot of it is about unhooking yourself from the way you've perceived your own identity and so on. It's, you're the best example of what I was talking about at the beginning, actually. And that as you keep surrendering, I tell you, there are people coming toward you. And you will be developing community with probably three or four other women for starters. And it's really, I see you being kind of innocent looking. Let them draw you in. You don't have to be the one who leads everything right now. You will be a leader, but you see, get drawn into the niche or the nest that you really would resonate with, and boy, you're going to be so powerful in your 60s, kid. You're going to knock your own socks off.
Thank you so much. I'm very grateful for mentoring me in this moment. There's a lot of grounding I'm seeking here. Thank you.
Yeah. You're going to do just fine, but remember, surrender and count on the unseen support. Keep getting rid of stuff. It's not going to be very long, and you will have support.
Thank you.
Keep us posted. Good night, Claudia.
Good night. Thank you.
This is Veronica Entwistle saying, okay, stay tuned at the top of the hour for ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. It's all about, have you lost your magic tonight? And I can hardly wait to hear what Jackie has to say about that. And also her wonderful team. For anybody who wants to ask the team questions, you can send them to me because I'm with her on the air, and I will get them on my email on the air, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. And if you'd like to email me, let me know what you think of the shows. If you've got suggestions for guests, I would love to hear them. And I'm running a bit behind, so I'll probably do a rerun next Tuesday night for Paradigm Shifters. I'm not sure who to rerun. I might be doing Tammy Kent, who was really interesting with her way of doing vaginal massage, not something we hear a lot about, in order to heal a lot of women's issues. And let me see. Let me know what you think, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com, no H in Entwistle, or if you'd like a session with me and my guides and angels, also Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. See you at the top of the hour, which is almost here. Good night, many, many blessings, and again, thank you for listening.